Father, we just thank you for the blessing of hearing Walter sing to us, and just what a great song. How great you truly are, Lord. We just praise you for who you are. Father, we ask you today as we enter this great chapter of Romans chapter 8, Lord, that you just bless this study today by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us what it means to be a carnal Christian, what it means to be carnally minded, what it means to be spiritually minded, and Lord, the dangers of living in carnality. Just teach us about that from this text, but also teach us about the great victory we have when we live spiritually in Jesus Christ. I ask you to teach us all of these things by the power of your Holy Spirit. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. How many of you ever have heard of the term carnal Christian? You might even have been called one time or the other a carnal Christian. When somebody calls you a carnal Christian, I can tell you right now, that is not a compliment. They are not complimenting you. What does it mean to be carnal? Well, you know, Paul, when we get to 1 Corinthians here a little bit later in chapter 3, Paul is going to rebuke the church at Corinth and he's going to say to them, you are still carnal. So what does it mean to be carnal? Well, what it means is to be controlled. It means you're still controlled by your flesh. What's your flesh? It's your physical body with all its sinful lust and passions. And so what did Paul say back in chapter 7 in verse 18? He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Nothing good dwells in the flesh. So if you're still carnal, or if somebody still calls you carnal, I can tell you right now that's not a compliment. On the contrary, let me tell you what, the most pitiful of all Christians are carnal Christians. Why is that so? Because they're still living in the spiritual wilderness. They're still living in what Paul described over there in chapter 7, what we looked at last week. And the spiritual wilderness isn't a land of victory. It's a land of defeat. And what that's going to do to you, if you're living in carnality, it's going to make you bitter. It's going to cause depression in your life. And it's going to cause you to murmur and complain against God. Last week, as we finished up our study in chapter 7, we likened the Christian journey to the nation of Israel as they passed from Egypt into the promised land. You remember the story. The Red Sea is parted, and they cross over into the wilderness of Sinai, and they go to the Mount Sinai, and they receive the law, and then they go to Mount Horeb. And from Mount Horeb into the promised land, it's only an 11-day journey. That's all they got to go is 11 days. How long did it take them to get in the promised land? 40 years. And the whole time that they're wandering around in the wilderness, they're only 11 days from being in the promised land. Now, that whole generation, except for Joshua and Caleb, that whole generation died in that wilderness. Let me ask you this. Do you want to spend your Christian life wandering in the wilderness your entire life when all you are is one step away from entering into the promised land, just one step away? What kept the Israelites out of the promised land? One word. We studied that in our Wednesday night study. What's that word? Unbelief. It's the same thing that will keep you in the wilderness and out of the promised land. God wants us to have life in the promised land, and that's what Paul is going to teach us about as we come into chapter 8 today. But let's go back to where we left off. Remember that cry that Paul had made, that famous cry. What did he say? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Now, when Paul made that cry, and we went through the entire process of chapter 7, and he was saying, the things that I want to do, those I don't do, the things that I don't want to do, that's what I do. And he was living in the wilderness. And how did he get out of the wilderness? Well, he came to the end of himself, and he cries out, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Let me tell you, if you're living as a carnal Christian, There's going to come a point in your life at some time where you're going to make that cry too. You're going to get tired of the carnal life. And you're going to cry out, Lord, I'm tired of doing the things that I don't want to do and not doing the things that I want to do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then the answer comes. And it comes in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You know what Paul's saying right there? He's saying, no longer is it how can I free myself, it's who can free me. That's if you want to get out of the wilderness and out of your carnality, it's not going to be in some theology, it's not going to be in some precept, it's not going to be in some method, it's going to be in a person, and that person is none other than Jesus Christ our Lord. But let me tell you this, once you cross over into the promised land, hey, the battle, we talked about this last week, the battle has only just begun. I mean, going on now, let's pick up in verse number 1 of chapter 8. He says, by the way, there are no, you know, in the Greek, there, I talked about this last week, there are no chapter breaks, and I really think here it's a mistake to have the chapter break there, because we're going right from 25 right into the meat of what it means to be living in the promised land. And listen to what he says. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Here's what he's saying here. He's saying, therefore, since you've crossed over into the life in the promised land, then there is no condemnation. What's no mean in the Greek? It means no, none, absolutely none. If you're living in the promised land, there is no condemnation. Let me ask you something. Do you ever feel condemned as a Christian? Do you ever hear the voice of Satan maybe condemning you? Do you hear the voice of demons condemning you? And sometimes we receive that. But let me tell you this right now. If you're still condemning yourself, it's a good sign that you're still living in the wilderness. Because think about it for a minute. I mean, if you're condemning yourself, what are you saying? You're saying, well, I failed to live up to God's standard. And who are you relying on when you're saying that? You're relying on yourself. I'll give you an example. I mean, if you're in traffic and somebody cuts you off, like somebody did me this morning, and they cut you off and you get really mad at them and you lose your temper, and then you say, oh, man, I can't believe I lost my temper. Lord, I promise you I'll do better next time. Well, what are you saying? You're saying that there's something good in my flesh that I can redeem. And what did Paul say in verse 18? He says, nothing good dwells in my flesh. And so if you're trying to fix yourself and condemning yourself for your failures, then I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have you're living in the wilderness, and you're going to suffer with a lot of depression. See, if I'm walking in the Spirit, and that's what we're going to be looking at today, if I'm walking in the promised land, Then when I do something like get cut off in traffic and I get mad at the guy and I lose my temper, then what I say at that point is, man, I wish. That's not who I am. See, I reckon myself dead. No longer is it, that's not me that lost my temper. That's the old man that loses the temper. And you don't condemn yourself, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. What you do, you reckon yourself dead, and then you say, Lord, hey, that's not who I am. Help me overcome my temper. I can't do it. Only you can do it. And I thank you, Lord, that there's no condemnation, because I did lose my temper. Now, let me say this. Does that mean, since there's no condemnation, that we're free to sin all we want? Meganeto, may it never be, Paul says. No, we're not free to sin. We're actually free not to sin. Look at verse number 2. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Lost my place there. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You know what life in the promised land is? He gives it to you right here. He says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You want to live in the promised land, then it's through the life in Christ Jesus. And that life has made me free from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? He described that back in verse number 23 of chapter 7. He says, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Remember what we talked about when we looked at that verse? Hey, when you got saved, what happened to your old man? Your old man died and you became a new creature in Jesus Christ. But the old man before he died had permeated your flesh or your members, the physical members of your body, with all sorts of evil passions, with bad attitude. And whenever we try to tame that flesh in our own, on our own, then what we're doing, we're living in the wilderness. And it's going to cause us to fail, and we're going to suffer constant failure. It's only through Jesus Christ, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death, which is in my members, I can't fix, but Christ can by the power of His Spirit. Not by law, but by grace. Look at verse number 3. He says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. See, the law doesn't have the ability to take us into the life of the promised land. Why? Because our flesh is weak. In the flesh, you cannot keep the law. The law can only be fulfilled through you in Jesus Christ. And how did that happen? God did that by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now notice He doesn't say in sinful flesh. He says in the likeness of sinful flesh. Everybody else who's ever lived on this earth other than Jesus Christ has had sinful flesh. Jesus Christ was sent in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was sent in the flesh, but His flesh was not sinful. Therefore, when He was hung on the cross, He was the one who was condemned for our sin in the flesh because He was perfect and righteous and without sin. And so He suffered our condemnation for us. Now, let's go on, verse number 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. By keeping the law? Let me ask you a question. Is that fulfilled by keeping the law? No, who do not walk in the flesh. We don't try to fix our flesh on our own. If you're still trying to fix your flesh on your own, you're still living in the wilderness. You're still a carnal Christian. We do it according to the Spirit. That's exactly what Paul says. Go a few books over to Galatians and look in Galatians, a passage all of y'all are familiar with. Go over to Galatians and look in verse number 16. Galatians number 5, chapter 5. Just a few books over. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. And go to chapter 5. Look down at verse number 16. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now he's speaking to Christians here. So even if you're in the promised land, you've got to learn to walk in the Spirit. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh. By the way, that word flesh is the same word for carnal. And so you will not fulfill the lust of your carnality is what he's saying there. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you can't make yourself walk in the Spirit. What you do is follow the leading of the Spirit. If you're of Christ, we'll see in just a second, you have the Spirit in you. And so you are led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. There's a lot of Christians that are carnal Christians that still think they're under law. You're not under law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes, Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 4. He says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And watch these. Some of these you might find yourself doing from time to time, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Now watch what he says here. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Not that you might fall into these from time to time, but if you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of walking in the Spirit, is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Now, reading so far, it almost looks like Paul's given us a law. It's almost as if he's saying, well, if you practice the things of the flesh, I mean, if you have outburst of wrath, if you have selfish ambitions, if you have dissensions, then you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But if you do the good things, you have love and joy and peace, then you will inherit the kingdom of God. But look at the last part of verse 23. He says, against such things there is no law. In other words, you don't walk in the Spirit. You don't walk in the Spirit by keeping the law. You keep the law because you are walking in the Spirit. Do you see the difference? See, we only fulfill the law when we are walking in the Spirit of Christ. If you get that backwards and you try to fulfill the law in your flesh, what you're doing, you're living in the wilderness and you're not living in the promised land. And so many Christians get this reversed. They see this and it scares them. Hey, if I do these things, I will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, man, I'm going to suck it up, and I'm not going to be involved. I'm not going to lose my temper, and I'm not going to have selfish ambitions, and I'm not going to get involved in dissensions, and I'm not going to gossip, and I'm not going to do some of these other things that Christians do. Because, hey, if I do, then I won't inherit the kingdom of God. But that's not the way it works. What you have to do is walk in the Spirit. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. And when you walk in the Spirit, you won't do those things. And when you do, then you know you're not condemned, for there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so what you do, you come to the Lord at that point and you say, Lord, I don't want to live like this. Please change me. It's by the Spirit that you're changed. Against such things, there is no law. Now let's go back to chapter 8 and pick up in verse number 5. He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. See, living in the promised land is a pretty simple thing. It's walking in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? It's all about your mindset. I mean, if you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, then you're going to be walking in the Spirit. If you set your mind on the things of the flesh, then you're going to be walking in the flesh. Now, if you are fleshly minded, and this is where this gets a little bit difficult here. If you're fleshly minded, you're not saved. If your mind is set on the flesh, and if you're here today and your mind is set on the flesh, what do we mean by the flesh? We're talking about where you're bodily passions, your physical body rules what you do, not the Spirit. It's really who you are. It's really your mindset. That's all you think about is the physical. You never think about the spiritual. And so it's all about mindset. And if my mindset is carnal, then I am not saved. I mean, let me prove that to you. Let's read verses 6 through 9. For to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, you could say, is death. And that's not just talking about, hey, we're all dying physically. That's talking about eternal death, because sin kills, sin destroys. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, why is that so? Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God. Friends, listen, if your mind is constantly on the flesh, you are at war with God. Who's going to win that war? You or God? God's going to win that war. And the result is eternal death for you. And so it's a, you know, you don't want to be carnally minded, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is at enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. In other words, you cannot clean yourself up. You cannot make yourself spiritual. The carnal mind, if you are carnally minded, you are at enmity with God, and there is nothing you can do about change about that unless you change your mind and you become spiritually minded, and you do that by getting saved. He says, because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed is it possible for it ever to be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot be, please God. If you're fleshly minded and you're living in the flesh, then you're not saved, because you can't please God. You can't be, to be carnally minded is death. You're at enmity with God. That tells me, I put all of that together, that if I'm carnally minded, I am not saved. And he's going to say that in another way in verse number 9. But you who are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Hey, you're okay, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Friends, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in your new mind, in your new man, you are not a Christian. You are not born again. But that raises the question. What about a carnal Christian? Paul over in 1 Corinthians rebukes the church at Corinth, and he says to them, you are still carnal. He's talking to Christians, and he's saying that they are still carnal. So can I be carnal and be saved? Yeah, you can be carnal and be saved, but you can't be carnally minded. See, if you're carnal and saved, you're still spiritually minded. I asked the person if I could use this illustration, so when I use it, don't think I'm breaking trust here or anything. But we had somebody Wednesday night that offered up a prayer request, and it's a great illustration of the point that I'm trying to make right here. And their prayer request was this. They were watching TV with some children, and the program that they were watching was for children. And then all of a sudden, as they're watching this program, the cast breaks out in all of this vulgarity, all of these cuss words, and it broke this particular person's heart. I mean, she said, what is happening? And she really broke down in tears. And she said, what is happening to our country that a child's program like this, we would have this kind of vulgarity on that program? I mean, what's wrong with our country? And she wanted us to pray for our country. But here's the problem. See, the problem is, TV is what? Is it spiritual? No, it's carnal. Now, because she lifted up that prayer request, you know what that tells me right away? She is spiritually minded. But when you're spiritually minded and you're doing something that's carnal, hey, it's going to upset you. I mean, I do the same thing. I watch Fox News sometimes for hours. Is Fox News... I got news for you guys that like Fox News. I don't want to break your heart, but it is not spiritual. It is carnal. And so when I'm listening to Fox News and I go to bed all angry and upset because I'm spiritually minded, it's really kind of a foolish thing to do, isn't it? I mean, the most miserable Christians in the world, let me tell you why they're so miserable. They're miserable because they're spiritually minded and they're constantly doing carnal things, and their spirit hates that things. And so they're living back where Paul was living when he says, for I know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. So if you're constantly living in a carnal world, and guess what? We live in a carnal world. Friends, what do you got to do? You got to shift to the things that are spiritual. If you want to find life and peace, then you're not going to find it on Fox News. You're not going to find it on the Disney Channel. You're going to find it in the Bible, in the Word, and in the fellowship with fellow Christians, and in giving and serving and all of those things. That's where you're going to find peace and life and joy. Let me reverse that. Let me tell you this, maybe just second most miserable person in the world. And that's somebody who's carnally minded that tries to be religious. In other words, they're carnally minded, and they come and they come to church because they think, man, you know, they're back here and they read Galatians chapter 6 and they saw that part where if I do all these things, I'm going to, you know, not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not going to go to heaven. God's going to be mad at me. And so what they do, they think by coming to church and maybe reading their Bible and praying and doing all of those things, that somehow God will be pleased with them. And it makes them miserable. Man, I can tell a person who's carnally minded when they walk in this room. And you open up the Word of God, and they hate the Word of God. They hate praying. They hate giving. They hate serving. They hate all of that stuff. It's like we talked about last week. You can take a pig and you can dress him all up and you can put perfume on him, cologne, whatever, and a suit and tie and bring him to church. But he's going to hate it. As soon as he gets out of church, where is he going to head? He's going to head back to the pigsty, isn't he? And so to be carnally minded and try to do spiritual things will make you just as miserable as being spiritually minded and doing carnal things. All right, now, going on, let's look at the next verse. Where did we leave off? Which verse? All right, verse number 10. He says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. I reckon myself dead. It's no longer I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And if Christ is in you, then your body is dead. Now, you're still walking around with that corpse. We talked about that last week. You're still walking around with that. But you have to reckon that body dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit is what gives you righteousness. It's in Christ that we have our righteousness. And guess what he's talking about right here? He's talking about the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus said it another way. Go back a few books to the book of John. And look in John. Chapter 17 in that great high priestly prayer that he made over there, and jump over to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, and look down at verse number 22. A strange prayer, a strange set of precepts right here, but it's real, and you've got to believe that it's real if you want to live in the promised land. Listen to what he says. He says, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Verse 22, verse 23, this is what I want you to see. I in them, I will be in them. Jesus was about to die on the cross, but he was going to be resurrected, wasn't he? And he's saying, I will be in them. At Pentecost, that's what happened. Jesus came back to this earth in the form of the Holy Spirit, and he dwells in believers. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect. Friends, where does your perfection come? Does it come from you beating up your flesh, from you condemning yourself, from you trying to make yourself better? No, your perfection comes from the life that Jesus Christ gives you, that resurrected life that we have in him because he is in us. And that's where we have our righteousness, perfect righteousness through him. Going back, and let's finish up with verse number 11. He says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead also will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Man, Paul could put a mouthful of stuff, couldn't he, in one verse? But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, the first thing I want to do as we finish up on this verse is figure out who the his is, who the him is. In verse 11, when he says, the Spirit of him, he who raised Christ from the dead, his Spirit who dwells in you, who's he talking about there? He's talking about the Holy Spirit, I think would be the obvious answer, right? But I want to go back to verse number 9 and look at the last part of verse 9. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of who? The Spirit of Christ. He is none of his. And if, look at verse 10. And if Christ is in you, And what did Christ say? He said, I in them. So what spirit is he talking about? He's talking about the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, and that is the spirit of the Father. But friends, listen, specifically here, he is speaking of the spirit of Jesus Christ himself. You remember what Jesus said when they came to him and looked, they were looking for a sign? I use this all the time. You remember what he said? He said, I'll give you a sign. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead? Yes, the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Spirit of the Father. But it's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Hear, O Israel, your God is one. Friends, the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus Christ are the same. It's through His Spirit that dwells in you. Do you understand what that means? That means that Jesus is sitting on the throne, right hand of glory, on the throne of God. And you know what he does? He sends forth his spirit so that he dwells in you. And so you're not walking and talking with some force. You're walking and talking with Jesus himself. He lives with you. He empowers you. He makes you righteous. He wants you out of the wilderness, and he wants you into the promised land. Man, what? Now we got to go a little bit further here. This is a pretty fantastic statement that he makes right here. It's also a mystical statement. Because we've been talking about the flesh, and what have we been saying? As far as our flesh is, we're to reckon it what? Dead. We're to reckon it dead. As far as we're concerned, we can't do anything about it. Hey, there's nothing that good that dwells in the flesh. But now watch what Jesus says right here, or what Paul says about Jesus right here. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead, which is Christ himself, his spirit, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of the Father, however you want to say that, it's one spirit. You don't have three spirits living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your glorified bodies, right? To your mortal bodies. You understand what he's saying right there? Friends, there is a point where we can have victory over our flesh. There's a point where Christ gives life to our dead flesh. You don't have, you know, there's so many of us that all we're doing is living for the sweet by and by. And it's real easy when you're doing that to become a carnal Christian and live in the wilderness because you just say, man, I can't fix this. Well, you're not supposed to fix this. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if the Spirit dwells in you, hey, and if he doesn't dwell in you, you're not his. But if he dwells in you, that's the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of the Christ is there to give life to your mortal body. Friends, he can't do that unless you have the right mindset. If my mindset is carnal, I'm not talking about being carnally minded here, but if I'm always thinking about carnal things, he can't give life to my dead body, and I'm going to live in the wilderness, not in the promised land. But if I begin to change what I set my mind on, my mindset, and I begin to set my mind on the things of Christ. Listen what happens in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. You don't have to turn there. Let me read it to you. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, are being transformed. Right now. We're going to be just like him when he appears. But right now, if we're gazing at him, that's the problem. A lot of us aren't gazing at him. We're gazing at the things of the world, and our minds are set on the things of the world. But if we're gazing on him, he says, with an unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're being transformed. He's given life to our mortal bodies. And we're being transformed in the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Friend, he's not talking about what happens in heaven there. He's talking about life now in the promised land. Let me close. close, and I want to ask a real pointed question here as I finish up today. A question you don't have to answer out loud, but you need to answer to yourself. Where are you living right now? Hey, if your mind is totally on carnal things and that's all you're living for, I don't care how often you go to church, how often you read your Bible, how much you try to do to fix yourself. Hey, if you're carnally minded, you are not saved. And all that playing church is going to do is going to make you more and more miserable. Hey, all you've got to do is take that first step. If you feel like, man, hey, I'm not spiritually minded, all you've got to do is take that first step and give your life to Christ, and He will give you His Spirit, and you will be His, and from that point on, you will be spiritually minded. Now, the problem is what most of us do when we get spiritually minded, we head back out into the world, and we keep doing carnal things. And that's why so many Christians are so miserable, and they're so depressed. And they're having so many struggles in their life because they're not receiving this life of Jesus Christ in their mortal bodies. And it's that dead flesh that's dragging them around and making them do the things that they do. So if you're spiritually minded, I think everybody, if I asked you, are you carnally minded? Are you spiritually minded? Most everybody in this room would say, I'm spiritually minded. Hey, if you're spiritually minded, you love the Word of God. You love going to church. You love giving to God's work. You love serving other people. You love fellowshipping with other people. But if you're still letting your flesh control you, then you're, like I say, you're going to be a miserable, most pitiful of people. You're going to be living in the wilderness, and it's not where you want to be. Now, how do I get out? Let's say I'm a spiritually minded person, and I'm living most of my life for this carnal world, and I'm letting my body dictate so much of what I do. How do I get out of the wilderness and into the promised land? Do I straighten myself out? Do I read my Bible more? Do I pray more? Do I give more? Do I try to do more of those things that my spirit wants me to do? No. No, that can become legalism real quickly. What do? You step by faith out of the wilderness and into the promised land. And before you can do that, let me tell you what's got to happen. You got to come to the end of yourself, just like Paul did in verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, how can I get out of this wilderness? How can I deliver my body of death? No, it's no longer that. It's I thank God through Jesus Christ. Who can deliver me? It's a who, and it is none other than Jesus Christ. And when you make that step, where you quit trying to trust in yourself and you fully trust in Him, and you truly want to set your mind on things spiritual, then you'll begin walking that moment in the promised land. And what's the promised land? Hey, it is the land that Paul describes here of life and peace. Where you're spiritually minded, living spiritually. And if you're not experiencing, if we're not experiencing life and peace, then I can tell you right now, that's not where God wants us to be. We're still in the wilderness. Now, are there giants in the wilderness? Are there in the promised land? Are there giants in the promised land? Are there battles in the promised land? Certainly. And you're still going to battle with your flesh, and you're still going to battle with your carnality. But there's victory in the promised land, and that victory is in Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You that You've made a way for us to not only leave Egypt, this world, and to be saved and enter into Your presence through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But Lord, You've also made a way for us not to struggle in the wilderness, but to live in Your promised land of spiritual blessings, of life and peace. We can only do that not through our own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. I ask today, Lord, if there's anyone here that's living in Egypt, in the world, carnally minded, or living spiritually minded, living in the wilderness, that you take us all where we need to be, into the promised land of Jesus Christ. Only through Him and through His righteousness and through His Spirit can we enter that land. We thank You for Christ. It's in His precious name that I pray. Amen. We're going to stand and close with a song.